A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, you say, the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel. Is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins that has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped? Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should be bent, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He said to the first, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In case you're visiting, my name is Father Paul Fagan. I was born across the Wisconsin River in Grand County, and my folks moved here in 67, and so I've been around here for a long time when I come home from Tanzania. And of course, this is home church in many ways, because back in 79, my father was buried from this church. Cemetery's over at St. John's and Patch Grove, but then my brother died in 92, and he was buried right from here. And my mother died in 99, and she was buried right from here. You may pray for me when I die, but I won't be buried here. I'm going back to my own diocese of Shinyanga in Tanzania. I told the bishop, the only thing I ask is, when you bury me, don't let him cover the grave with cement. I said, it's too hard to get out on the last day. I said, I want to be able to go right out. And I make fun of it. I tell them, otherwise, if someone does it, you better put a motorcycle helmet on, so that when I come up, I don't crack my head when I'm coming up. So, anyway, that's my history in short. 2 weeks ago, today was the 13th of September, and I was looking forward to a great day to celebrate here in my parish with all friends and relatives and have a great mass to celebrate my 60th anniversary of ordination. It didn't happen. COVID-19. You imagine that little virus messed up your lives, messed up my life, messed up a great chance to celebrate in Tanzania on the actual day of my ordination, the 11th of June in 1960. And the bishop was coming. We have 50 priests in the diocese now, and most of them would have been there. The government, the MCOA, the regional, the head of the region was going to come, and together with his people, he's going to invite a former prime minister who's going to be there. And I said, oh boy, this is a great chance to raise some money to continue expanding the hospital. So that's gone. So I come home. I couldn't come home. Usually I come home in the middle of June, give my talks all of July and August. I have 7 places but 14 parishes that I talk in every year. Some places 2 or 3 masses. And that didn't happen. And so I started writing. This is my second installment this week, and I got one coming next week and the one after that. I have to write it yet. But the one last year, I forgot to put my address in here. But there was in my letter last year, what sort of, instead of giving talks in all the parishes, do it by writing. And of course, in the future, that's the way it's going to be, from our tax-exempt corporation, Roads to Life Tanzania. We'll have to do it by mail. I'm hoping next year, I don't know if it's proper to celebrate, if I should live long enough and be able to celebrate next year when I come home in September to celebrate 61 years. I don't know if you can, are allowed to celebrate 61 years? I don't know. Anyway, we'll just call it 60 next year. then I'll be okay. So it was something, you know, because I remember when we had our 25th anniversary of ordination, I was still in the Maryknoll then, and we came back, and we had priests there who were 40 years ordained and 50 years ordained. We were 25, and we thought we did pretty good. And these guys were still walking and talking, and one guy could even play the piano, and they were singing. I said, holy smokes. How about that? 50 years, and they're still going. Guys, I can't believe 60 years. I thought I would never be ordained. I grew up on the farm, and I did not think theoretical. I wanted things you could put your hands on, like a tractor or a machine or a hammer, and do things. It was tough, but I made it. I made it, and here we are today. Couldn't have dreamed I'd be standing here talking to friends right here in hometown Ferdishine. It's great. I really feel good being here. And appreciate being with you and just mentioning a little bit of the past and our hopes. And my village of Nkololo. I don't need this when I'm... You're more than 6 feet away. What am I doing with this thing? That what I started to say. Well, we'll have to go out and something. I'll have to start on something else. Anyway, so that's the beginning. And what we've done in the past 60 years is a lot of things related to farm, growing up on a farm. And I started with agriculture, and I went into road building and educating students. And then 1983, I opened my first dispensary in Old Maswa Parish, and about 15 years ago, I was in Kololo. I'd moved to one of the outstations of my parish of Old Maswa. We just divided it up into three new parishes. And so I live in one of them in Kololo, one of the new parishes, which was part of my old parish. And I opened a dispensary there in 1994 and finished building it in 1996. And then we built our church, then we built a ward in 1999. We built a lab. You got to have a lab. And when my rural medical aide went on to be a doctor, and she came back and said, well, we'll have a health center, that small hospital. I said, what the heck? We're going to be a health center, might as well be a hospital. So, not knowing what I was talking about. actual hospital. And we're on the verge of being a Class A1 hospital. We've gone through all the hoops for years, adding more equipment, getting evaluated, getting investigated, being checked, and being evaluated again, reports on us. If you're private, hospitals can get away with a lot, but not if you're private. And we finally had the final assessment by the district medical team from Bariadi, and they came up with a booklet, like that, 20-page booklet or something on what they found and what was good, and 73% of the things we needed to be a Class A1 hospital we already had, more than probably any government hospital. Our lab is a B2, the highest that's possible when you're a health center, and even as a hospital. You have to be a referral hospital to have a better lab than what we have. We have an excellent lab, the best one in the whole region, like in the whole state. And it's helped us tremendously. That was my number one thing. You can't have a hospital without a lab. What good is it, if you can't give blood, you can't test things, you got to have it. So we did that, and they came up with their final recommendation was, we strongly recommend Songambedi Health Center become a Class A1 hospital. And then it had to go to the regional assessment committee, and they came up and they went through everything and they agreed with the first thing, and they said, well, we have to pay things, our dues every year to be a health center or a hospital. They said, pay your dues for a hospital and we'll send this on to the Ministry of Health in Dodoma, the capital, and we hope within a month or so we can change our sign outside, and I'm going to put hospital from here to there. Songambedi, move forward, hospital, Catholic Diocese of Shinyanga. It's an independent hospital run by a board of trustees. The bishop is the chairman, but it's not diocesan, it's not parish. So whoever becomes bishop, whoever becomes pastor, will only give spiritual needs, or if the bishop is the chairman, then he's the chairman of the board. And the board owns the hospital. Right now we're making it. We're sustainable, but we can't expand. I don't think anybody, hardly any hospital, can get by without grants or support. I doubt very much that any hospital around here is, you know, they just make so much money, they just expand. They get money from wills and from donations and grants and stuff. We have to do the same thing. And it's not cheap. We opened a maternity ward this year. 144 by 38-foot building. It was big. It was 5,000-some square. That's in next week. Next week's article. Anyway, I was going to build a children's ward and a men's ward, and the government made their priority this year to be mother-child health. Well, I guess children and men's ward doesn't fit it. So they said, your maternity, if you want to be a hospital, your maternity ward is not sufficient, so we build the biggest thing around. It's big, and even that, I don't think it's going to be big enough. But within our maternity ward, you know, we got up in Seneca, we got Johnson's One Stop. Well, over in Clolo, we got San Gombele One Stop Maternity Ward, Maternity Center. And I say one stop because it'll be the only one with an operating theater right in the maternity ward. You don't have to go out. We're going to have our own ultrasound. We have ultrasound and x-ray in another building, but we're going to have it right there. We're going to have our operating theater right there along with delivery and all that other. We got everything else. That's the only thing lacking. And it'll be the only one around that will have that capability. You stop there, that's it. In one door, out the other. So we're looking forward to that. The equipment is in England right now. We have the overhead light, we got the special flooring, and we got cabinets, we got air conditioning, but we don't have many of the things we need. And just think, since January of last year, we had 389 cesarean sections. That's a lot. And they were not elective. They were emergency. We go get people in our ambulance. The majority come on the back of a motorcycle. How they do it, I don't know. How they survive, I don't know. 125 cc, not a 500, not a 1,000, not 2,000 cc, hardly. This is a little dinky motorcycle with three people on it. The driver sitting on the gas tank. The patient right behind and someone holding her on. And they come for 20 miles, 30 miles, mud, water, night, and they get there. These guys are amazing to get. I've rode a motorcycle for 47 years, and I was scared every time, but I never had two people on the back. Oh, my gosh. And when someone being pregnant yet. Holy, wow. And that's what's going on. And these emergencies, they come. Now, why do they have to come at night? You know, 11 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning. And these guys come in the dark with their little 125cc motorcycles. And we save them. If the only ones we can't save are the ones that didn't quite make it. They made it to the door, and that was about it. And that's, it might maybe a stillborn. But almost 100%. And you can be proud to have been part of that. And we do a lot of other operations, too. Laparotomies, appendicitis, and we do intestinal obstructions, and a lot of interesting things with I go over once in a while and see how they're doing with so I got some beautiful pictures. Have you ever taken pictures of a laparotomy? Oh boy, I never thought I'd see the day. Anyway, we've done that. And what we want to expand now, and that's in my next year article, people are asking, and the government says that we should have it, private rooms. No government hospital has one except the referral hospital. in a town, a city of 1.5 million people. We'd be the only ones with private rooms, and people want them. They'll come to our place. And I have a plan for it. For 12 beds, I'm going to have to, if I can't raise the money, then I'm going to have to replan and make a different type of, just build a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And we're doing it for the extraordinary low price of a 12-bed private room building with all your nurses station, all the equipment you need for quick help, and the nice rooms, a double, two windows in each room, and bathroom, and all that stuff. We expect to do it for about $300,000. You couldn't even think of that here. You couldn't even think of it. We don't have any paid architects. I get ideas from an architect, and I do the drawing. We have our own workers, local workers. They don't come from outside. All just homegrown people that have learned on the job. And that's no engineer and no contractor. That's why we get by so cheap. We spend millions, but instead of 40 million, you know, maybe 10, 7 or 8 million to have a hospital. That's absolutely amazing. And things cost money. They're not cheap. And labor is cheap, but materials are not. They don't. A lot of things are you have to bring in and stuff. Anyway, that's what we're doing. And just think, say you've been here since I came in '67 here with Mom and Dad when they moved over in 14th Street, and that's where I'm at right now. And just think, you've been helping me for all those years, and other places I've gone since 1974. When we were looking for a tractor, we got a 2030 John Deere for $4,000 back in 1974. And I went to Sun Prairie, and I went to Rhinelander, and I don't know where else, and we got the money, $4,000. Can you imagine that? So it's been a great life, and I was trying to think how many masses. This would be about 25,000 right now. Oh, boy. You better pray for me to see if I can make it next year, and we'll celebrate together, and it'll probably be the end of my rounds and stuff, but I look forward to it. I appreciate all you've done for years and years and years, and I will continue to pray for you, and don't forget to pray for me. We priests need it too. God bless you all.